are those red eyes, my dear? Have you been weeping? Why are you weeping, dear woman? And you, sir, your lip looks swollen. You've been biting your lip. You're hurting, aren't you? You're trying not to cry. Oh, beloved, male or female, young or old, I want to talk to you about resurrection peace for every situation of life. We wish life were different, but we have to admit that sorrow is a part of our life. It's not what I planned. It's not what I wanted. And it's come in the most unexpected forms and in the most unexpected times. And it has hurt badly. The question is, if we are, in a sense, born for sorrow because of the world that we live in and because of the times that we're living in, how do we get through that sorrow? How do we live in the midst of conflict, in the midst of turmoil, in the midst of confusion, in the midst of disappointment, in the midst of discouragement? How do we do it and yet survive? And yet, if you're like me, I don't want to just survive. I don't want to be there just simply hanging on by my fingernails. Rather, I want to move through life with a sense of peace, with a sense of calm, with a sense of quietness. And the Bible talks about in confidence and in quietness is your strength. In righteousness, you find strength. We find that Jesus was promised to us as a Prince of Peace, and yet we want to know, where is that peace? Well, beloved, we celebrate two holidays every year as Christians. We celebrate Christmas, the birth of the Savior. When the fullness of time came, God sent forth His Son to be born of a virgin. And that holiday that is meant to bring so much joy many times brings with it so much sorrow. And it brings sorrow because there's conflicts, because there's conflicting relationships. And with those conflicting relationships comes pain, comes memories, comes a sense of defeat, a sense of frustration. And then there's that holiday that's called Easter. And in Easter, we're celebrating the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You know, of the two holidays, Christmas is essential because Jesus was born to die. He was born to be the Savior of the world. He was born to take away our sins. But this holiday, if we really understand it, that gets us through the trials is the celebration not only of the death of Jesus Christ, but of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I want to talk to you for these next few days about resurrection peace, how you can live through every situation of life in peace, no matter how great the conflict, no matter how bad the pain. I want to say to you, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking? And I want to take you from there and show you that you can have resurrection peace, that you can make it, precious one, through any trial, any conflict, any disappointment, any discouragement of life. When we celebrate Easter, we so often focus on our clothes. We focus on this new garment that we're going to buy and we're going to put on. Sometimes it's the only time that a family goes to church together. And so we kind of get dressed up and we celebrate that. Now, I've got to tell you that we used to get dressed up far more for Easter than we do now. But why this sense of newness? Well, why does it come in the spring when we think of life coming up from the earth and the deadness of winter is over and the daffodils are out and the crocuses have popped and the trees are in bloom? I think it's because we all like a new start. We all like a new beginning. We like brightness in our life and not darkness. So the days are longer, they're warmer, they're sunnier. And so I think God planned all of this. We don't know the real date of Jesus' birth, but we do know the time of the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, because it all happened around a feast that the Jews celebrated every single year. It was called the Feast of Passover. And it was during this Feast of Passover that Jesus was put to death, that Jesus became the Lamb of God who was to be slain for your sins and my sins. And so many times what we do is we focus on the death of Jesus Christ and we miss the impact of the resurrection. I want to talk to you about resurrection life. I want to talk to you about resurrection peace. It's the answer to woman or sir, why are you weeping and whom are you seeking? I want us to go to John chapter 19. And I'm really excited about these days that we are going to have together looking at this resurrection piece. And the reason I'm excited about it is, first of all, I believe that it can put a new dimension into your celebration of Easter. But I believe also that it can bring a new dimension to your celebration of life day in, day out. If you will understand all that was given to you, all that was wrought for you, all that was won for you in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, when God shattered hell and brought forth Jesus Christ, when he brought him out of the grave, so to speak, and there he was, the resurrection and the life, just as he said. Oh, can you imagine what it meant to those disciples that had stood at the foot of the cross, those disciples that had heard Jesus as he was on that cross cry out, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, my God, why have you forsaken me?" To remember and watch him ask for, to say that he was thirsty, to see that sour wine put up for him to be able to taste and for him to turn his head. And then finally to say, tetelestai, it is finished. I want to take us to John chapter 19. And what we're going to do is we're going to get some good, solid Bible teaching, which is absolutely essential, so that you will have a foundation of truth, so that you will understand what this resurrection peace is, so that you can have peace unto you in any and every situation of life. So will you open your Bibles with me, unless you're driving? Would you open your Bibles with me and go to John chapter 19? In John chapter 19 in verse 30, it says, "Therefore, when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, 'It is finished.'" It is finished is tetelestai in the Greek. And tetelestai means it is paid in full. And what he was saying is, I have paid for man's sins in full. My work is finished. He was the Lamb of God that was sent to die for the sins of all mankind. And that's what he did. He accomplished his purpose. He said, "It is finished." And then he bowed his head and he gave up his spirit. He bowed his head. He gave up his spirit. He would say earlier, "No man is taking my life from me. I am laying it down." And precious one, what I want you to know, and I want you to understand, that no matter who you are, no matter what you've done, no matter where you've been, he gave up his spirit. He gave up his life for you. When you were his enemy, when you were hopeless, when you were helpless, when you were without God, when you were in rebellion to God, when you were walking your own way and doing your own thing, this is what Jesus did. Jesus gave up his life for you when you were at your very, very worst. And if you can begin to understand that and understand that the death of Christ was for your sins, then you're going to understand that the resurrection of Christ was for your life. And this is what we're going to see. I'm so excited about teaching you this. Now let's go on. It says, then the Jews, because it was the day of preparation, so that the bodies might not remain on the cross on the Sabbath. Remember, we celebrate the death of Jesus Christ on Friday. We call it Good Friday. And we call it Good Friday because it was good because Jesus paid for our sins. Well, the Sabbath is coming, and the Sabbath begins Friday evening and goes to Saturday evening. That is the Sabbath. And so because it was the Sabbath that was coming and they were preparing for the Sabbath, they had to get the bodies off the cross then. And so this is what it says. So it says that the bodies would not remain on the cross, for that Sabbath was a high day. So they asked Pilate that their legs might be broken, that they might be taken away. Now, why break the legs? Well, what you have to understand is when they crucify a person, and that cross is really not terribly high, but when they crucify a person and they jack their legs and they drive a nail, a spike through their ankles with their knees in a flexed position, because they want crucifixion to be a torturous death. And so what they do is they want them to die slowly. And so as they hang there, because their muscles are in a pectoral kind of paralysis from the weight, and they're unable to exhale, what they do is they push up their body from that nail with their knees, straighten them out so that they can exhale, so that they can keep breathing. It's a natural thing that the body does. And then they come back. So they wanted to hurry the death of these men. And in hurrying the death of these men, the way they would do it is simply come along and hit that leg and break that leg so that they could not push up, so then they would suffocate. So this is what they were doing. Now, they were crucifying more than one person on that day. So they come along and it says, the soldiers came and broke the legs of the first man and of the other who was crucified with him, with Jesus. But coming to Jesus, when they saw he was already dead, they did not break his legs. Remember, he said it is finished, and he gave up his spirit. And they didn't break his legs. What if they had broken his legs? We'll talk about it when we come back.
Jesus gave us the Great Commission.
He told us, go and make disciples, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you.
Go, make, teach. That sounds like meeting people and getting them into the Bible.
That sounds like inviting someone to your Precept Bible Study group.
Well, we released our Galatians Precept Upon Precept and In and Out Bible Studies last November. But one of the things we like to do is to see how we can increase participation in Bible study globally. We have people in a number of countries around the world who want to study with us, and so the Lord led us to decide, well, maybe we could have everybody around the world studying the book of Galatians at the same time, that they would be able to share around the world what that glorious book is doing in their lives. Visit precept.org/globalGalatians today.
As I stop and think about that day, that pivotal day in history when Jesus paid for your sins and my sins, I think, oh, if they had broken his legs, you and I would have known that he was not the Savior of the world. He never would have risen from the dead, because only the Son of God could rise from the dead. And only that way could you and I have resurrection peace. Well, let's look and see what it says. And it says, but one of the soldiers, they did not break his legs. Verse 34 of John chapter 19, where we look at the account of the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, so that you, beloved, can have resurrection peace. But one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, and immediately blood and water came out. Now, the fact that blood and water came out showed that his heart had ruptured. Jesus died of a broken heart. Your sin and my sin that breaks our heart, that breaks the heart of other people, that causes conflict and chaos and disappointment and discouragement and defeat in life. What breaks our heart broke his heart. He has a heart that can taste and feel your pain, precious one. And so blood and water came out. And it says, and he who has seen has testified, and his testimony is true. John the apostle is writing this, and he's saying, I saw it, and I am testifying, and I want you to know it is absolute, pure, unadulterated truth. This is what happened. You're reading an eyewitness account, but not just one eyewitness account, because there are others in Matthew and Mark and Luke. There's the eyewitness account of Paul. No, he wasn't there, but he knows and he tells what happened when Jesus Christ died and when Jesus Christ was raised from the dead. And it says in verse 35, he who has seen and has testified, and his testimony is true, and he knows that he is telling the truth, so that you also may believe. For these things came to pass to fulfill the scripture. Not a bone of him shall be broken. It was written in the Old Testament. It was recorded there. It was a prophecy that would help you identify who the Messiah, the Mashiach HaMashiach would be, who the anointed one, the promised one, who the Christ would be. And one of the things that testified to who he was that not a bone of his would be broken. It says, and another scripture says, they shall look on him whom they pierced. When they put that spear into his side, they looked on him. It says, after these things, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but a secret one for fear of the Jews, asked Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus. And Pilate granted permission. So he came and he took away his body. After these things, it says that Nicodemus, who had first come to Jesus by night, also came, bringing a mixture of myrrh and aloes and about 100 pounds weight. So they took the body of Jesus and bound it in linen wrappings with spices, as is the burial custom of the Jews. They would lay out the body and they would put these spices and that around the body, and then they would wrap the body very, very tight. And then they had a separate cloth for the face. And then, having bound the body, they would lay the body in the tomb. Well, it goes on to say, so they took the body, bound it in linen wrappings with the spices, and now in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden. And in the garden, a new tomb in which no one had been laid. Therefore, because of the Jewish day of preparation, since the tomb was nearby, they laid Jesus there. Now, on the first day of the week, Sabbath was Saturday. It starts Friday night. It goes to Saturday night. It's a day of a high and holy day. No work. Nothing is done. They're not going to come near a tomb. They're not going to come near a dead body. But on the first day of the week, on what we call Saturday evening, which begins the first day of the week, which is Sunday, Mary Magdalene came early to the tomb while it was still dark. And she saw the stone that had been taken away from the tomb. So she ran and she came to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved. This is John that's writing it. And said to them, they have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they've laid him. So Peter and his other disciple went forth, and they were going to the tomb, and the two of them were running together. And the other disciple ran ahead faster than Peter and came to the tomb first. It's John, but he's not going to put his name there. But he outran Peter, and stooping and looking in, he saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he did not go in. So Simon Peter also came following him and entered the tomb, and they saw the linen wrappings lying there, and the face cloth which had been on his head, not lying with the linen wrappings, but rolled up in a place by itself. So the other disciple who had come first to the tomb when he entered, he saw and he believed. For as yet they did not understand the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Listen, that scripture and that resurrection fact is what's going to bring you peace. And you'll see as we continue this series. But let's go back. So the disciples went away to their own homes. But Mary was standing outside the tomb weeping. And so as she wept, she stooped and looked into the tomb. And she saw two angels in white sitting, one at the head and one at the feet, where the body of Jesus had been lying. And they said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" And she said, "Because they've taken away my Lord, and I don't know where they've laid him." And when she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there. But she didn't know that it was Jesus. And Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" "Woman, sir, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" This is Jesus' question to you today. Why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking? And what he's going to show you is that whatever the reason, whoever the reason, whoever you're seeking, that he's the answer. And the answer comes in who he is in the resurrection. It says, supposing him to be the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." And Jesus said to her, "Mary." And she turned and she said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni, Rabboni," which means teacher. And he said to her, "Stop clinging to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brethren and say to them, I ascend to my Father and your Father, and my God and your God." What is this resurrection peace that you and I can have? This is what we're going to explore in the days ahead. But what I want you to know is it is for you. Jesus said, "I'm going to my Father and your Father." And because Jesus died for you, because he was buried, because he rose again from the dead, precious one, all that resurrection peace can be yours. And all that resurrection power is at your disposal if you will simply believe. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. And you get him by believing in his death, burial, and resurrection. Hi, I'm Kay Arthur with Precept Ministries International, and it's wonderful to have you here in our home. I wish you could be here physically. But I've got another suggestion. Why don't you go to Israel with us? Israel is my favorite thing to do. I feel like it's not a vacation. It's not a luxury. It's an investment that will absolutely change your life. And you know what? It is a blast. People say, "This trip is so much fun. I learn so much, but I laugh and I share and we have time together." So many memories and such sweet fellowship. Laughter, fun, prayers, tears, sharing. It's wonderful. But the best thing is studying his word where it happened. Woman, why are you weeping? Sir, why are you gnawing on your lip? Why are you fighting the tears? You say, because what I expected did not come to pass, because I have lost a loved one. I have lost a job. I have lost hope because I am lost. Oh, precious one, God has you here listening to this program, hearing his words, because he's saying to you, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking? And then what he's going to show you is he is the answer. And he is the answer because he is the one that has conquered sin and has conquered death. He is the one because he is the resurrection and he is the life. And his resurrection life is there so that you can live and experience his resurrection peace. That's what this new series is all about. I want you to stop and I want you to pause and I want you to reflect on the truths of the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, which is called the good news. And if it's good news, there has to be something good about it. And if there's something good about it, it has to be good not only for your intellect, not only as a fact of history, but it has to have a practical application. And so what is your takeaway value today as I simply lay the foundation for experiencing resurrection peace, no matter what situation of life you encounter? What is that precept for life? The precept for life is this, for you to stop and ask yourself, okay, why am I weeping? Whom am I seeking? And then you need to say, the one I need to be seeking is Jesus. And if it is Jesus, he is the one who died for me. He's the one who was buried. He's the one who was raised from the dead and who promises me that he will never leave me nor forsake me, so that I can boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man will do unto me. In other words, I can have peace in the midst of the storm. Remember, Jesus is the Prince of Peace. He rules. He's the one that can give you peace in the midst of conflict. He's the one that can give you peace when the days are dark and very discouraging. So I just urge you to run to him and say, oh, Prince of Peace, lead me in this truth, this resurrection peace that can be mine.
Thank you for watching today. All the programs you see on Precepts for Life are available on CD and DVD. To order your copy of today's program, log on to our website at preceptsforlife.com. To find out more about Precept Ministries International, click on our website or call us today at 1-800-763-1990. Join us for our next program as Kay shares more Precepts for Life.